And we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 140 Fans of Power. I am Joe Amato, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. I was a couple seconds late there, or minutes late, Tyler. Yeah, I was having an issue. I always have an issue, it seems like. I'm always holding the podcast up.
Pretty much. You're the reason. You're holding us back, man. We would be making so much more progress if it wasn't for Joe Amato.
Exactly.
And yet, you're the more popular of the two. But you're ironically, you're the one that's holding us back.
Well, I wouldn't say I was more popular when I don't say that.
Are you kidding? Joe, you post anything. Doesn't matter what it is. You can post a picture of a beat-up Hordak that's missing everything and even has a few doo-doo stains on his leg. 500 likes, 2,000 comments. I'll post that I've got breaking news that we managed to score Dolph Lundgren for the podcast. 2 likes. No comments. No shares. And they'll say, I hate, and they'll, well, if I do get a comment, it's, I hate the He-Man movie.
Well, like I said, don't say that, man. You get plenty and plenty of comments, likes, shares, so don't say that. But,
don't be feeding that malarkey.
Well, let me say hello anyways to Determined AZ and Eric Amon in the chat room. And I know that, like I said, since we're doing this, you know, this, Doug was busy tonight, so Nathan is going to be recording through our Fans of Power podcast page here. So I know most of the people that are normally here might not be here because a lot of them don't know to look for us through Facebook. Sometimes it's just through YouTube. So that's why I say hopefully the ones that maybe will start. Oh, and I see, whoa, Grimbot's joined us, and so is Adam Gabbard. And thank you both for joining us. But that's why down here you got the subscribe button. And, of course, you can like it. But if you could subscribe and ring that bell that's down there, that'll at least keep you notified, so in case there is a time where we're not, you know, on pop culture when we're doing it there or through Doug, it'll pop up here. It's going to notify you. So, you know, like I said, because it just fluctuates. You never know. But we don't want you missing out. Yeah.
Yeah, and we may – we're probably possibly doing a different time next week. I don't think so. I'm not sure. I'll have to double check just because me and Nathan will be going out of town next Sunday, and we should be back in time to do the podcast at 9 o'clock. But
right. So.
But yeah, just in case, if you're listening, whenever you're listening to this, subscribe to this YouTube channel as well, because it does happen where Nathan comes on. Well, hell, I'm just repeating what Joe said. Why the hell am I doing that?
No, it's fine. No, it's always good to hear at least a couple times. I mean, somebody could have just popped in late, but you're right. That's why it's good to subscribe and just ding that bell, click that bell. That's always going to let you know when we're going live. So, but well, first, before we start, last week I showed it, and I told him I was going to show it to him live and all complete and painted and finished, just getting everything set, is the part, you bastard, sorry, so I'm just sticking his sticking his machete in his hand, and every time I try to do it, oh shit, now I'm dropping stuff.
Well, you bastard.
God, that's why it's good when it's live. It's like, where the hell I drop his machete? Of course, it goes right under the table. How can it go into that spot? It's like when you're eating something. God,
yeah. This is why Joe holds us back here, people.
See, I'm doing it. It's like I can't do anything right, but okay. So he's out there. I'm telling you,
it's just falling apart right before our eyes here.
I hope the guy
can get the money back for this.
Oh, son of a bitch. No, see, that's the thing. When I'm sculpting the machetes, I want to make sure that it's not super tight in his hand because I don't. Well, see, there you go. It had to be placed just right. I don't want it super tight because I don't want it to, you know, accidentally, you know, have paint wear or anything. But, so there, that's the machete. It's all bloodied up. And here's Jason that I sculpted for him. Every bit of detail from his outfit to his mask and everything, including his ugly mug underneath there. So I tried to get it as part four accurate as possible. And a good thing that I did was, see, with some of the customs, when I'm doing the heads, and sculpting onto a head, it might make it a little awkward where I'm worried about when it's turning, if, you know, possibly something can pop off. So I use these super, I mean, see, I can hold him by his head and he's great. Super strong industrial magnets, actually. So there's a magnetic section here and here, so that just snaps on and it's super durable. So you don't ever have to worry about a head breaking off because it's magnet. So just want
to share
that. Some
assembly required.
Some assembly required. Exactly. The machete will stick in his damn hand. You seen it, Will. I was just having an issue. See what happens.
That's what you should have said if you're going to showcase your customers and they suddenly start falling apart. Just make sure the buyer knows some assembly is required.
He's like, son of a bitch, I can't get his machete in his hand. But I always, no, I do, man. I always want to be careful because I try to make it a little more durable because it's not saying anything about the official Jason figures in back of me, but you know, a lot of those thin machetes, you know, you turn a certain way, it could pop. So I wanted to make it more durable, you know, just to make it strong. So that's sculpted over a piece of metal. I have one long, like, piece of metal, and then I sculpted the machete over it. So no worrying about it snapping. So there. God, and people say, Joe, you never talk about your customs. And I do, and I feel like I hoard myself. So, and also,
This is why Joe doesn't talk about his customs, because it just falls apart.
thanks. Well, it did. Nothing broke. It just, Jason was having a damn hard time holding the machete, but he can hold it, and it's a good machete. I could throw it against the wall and it wouldn't break, but I'm not going to try that live. Also, Zentron in the chat room, thank you for joining us. And Chris Simpson, thank you for joining us. But, well, Jesus, Tyler, now that I'm done rambling about this like an insane lunatic with also showing, oh boy, I always tell people don't ever send me nothing. Don't do that. I don't like it. I feel, makes me feel poor. I appreciate it. But, so this is gonna be a hard kind of show because this is gigantic. But Eric Amon, he sent this blanket. My God, it's just gigantic. But it's
Oh,
based on,
that's beautiful,
yeah,
man.
Danger at Castle Grayskull. You know the point. You know the book that came with Point Dread and the Talon Fighter. But it's just gigantic. It's like, Jesus, this thing could cover a whole entire door. But it's awesome and it feels so smooth and snug. And the part that's on me is, yeah, this is. It's so soft and nice, but Eric, damn it, man, thank you for sending this. You really didn't have to do it, but it's awesome. Damn, is that awesome?
I say was when he told me about that, I thought it was gonna be like various like pages and covers from it, but having one massive image put on a blanket, that makes me think I would love to have the image of like Zodak showing He-Man Point Dread up high in the clouds, or the
Hell
cover
yeah.
of Clash of Arms put on a blanket. How badass would that be?
That would be freaking super freaking awesome, but thanks, man. I was like, good God, you know, he was saying he was gonna send me something. I had no clue it was. I told him, I said, man, that better not be expensive or nothing. And he was like, and then of course, you know, he kind of hem-hawed around it, but I don't have no clue what it costs. I don't want to ask. But damn, you didn't have to do it, but to
What
do
makes
that,
you think it cost a fortune, though? Like, you're just gonna
because
assume
it's
that anybody that sends you something, it's like, I think the guy had to take out a loan from the bank.
well, I don't know. I don't like the thought of people doing it.
What? Where? All right, let's just stop beating around. Where the hell do you get off thinking that if someone does something nice for you, they say, well, you know, Joe goes to the soup line every single day, so send him a free blanket, you know?
Well, this, I mean,
I
this
mean,
just.
why the hell would you assume that anybody that wants to do something nice for you, who's in many states away, who listens to what you do for fun, oh man, look at that. He must be poor, you know. I don't understand like your whole phobia for rejecting total strangers who want to do something nice for you.
I don't know. I don't know. But this just feels expensive. Looking at that, to have that special image
Just
in.
feels expensive. How the hell do you decide what? I mean, are you using it like Braille? Do you like, oh, wait. Like,
Tell
oh my
you,
God.
well,
This clearly was half a grand,
I
right?
mean,
Just by the sheer
well,
shiny texture on my
it is.
fingertips, that you
Don't
paid a
mean
grand for
it's
this, didn't you?
on the front. I mean, just to have that damn image, it doesn't feel cheap. It's like it's not raised up. It's really nice, but on the back, it's this really nice smooth black. It feels like, I don't know, but damn, it's so
Well,
soft
that's a
and.
common thing with blankets. I don't think he bought it from a silk merchant in China or something like that.
I don't know, but
I
it's
mean, you make it
great,
sound
man.
even like it got on like this old pirate ship and sailed across the seven seas and went to the finest silk merchants in Asia, you know, and it just learning new languages and just like a montage of him going to be like, that's the one I want, you know, and they got on a boat. And paid heavy tolls and shark-infested waters so we could get back to America and mail you a damn blanket because he thought you were poor.
But I do appreciate Eric. That was really awesome, man.
Well,
So
I guess when he sent me the Ultimate Battleground mini comic, he just probably thought I live in a box down the street from the local high school, and I'm hoping that when they throw out leftovers from the cafeteria, that oh my God, it's a good day. They're serving rolls today, you know.
I could tell you a story about school, but I won't do that. You want a
Oh,
quick one?
of course you could. I'm sure it's about how you managed to cheat the lunch ladies out of spending your money, because that's probably what it is. Joe ain't poor. He's just cheap.
No, not that. But first, Kevin Sharp, thank you for joining us. Before we start talking about
All right.
all these reveals, I'm gonna say one quick thing. At school, there used to be these round pizzas that they would bake, and they were like, I think, Red Baron ones, and they were $1.40 at school. But there was the days they would just set them out for free if they were like too dark brown because they considered them burnt. And nobody wanted them, so I used to go up there because I used to have like a bag of chips for lunch, like a little 40-cent bag and stuff. So I would go up there and I would just get like three of those pizzas, put them on a plate, and eat them. I liked them. I was like, "This is good food." People thought it was bad, but there you go. So that's the end. That's it done. But now let's start talking about San Diego Comic-Con. That was, man, it was just, there was a lot of mind-blowing stuff. First, we could talk real quickly. They had the Filmation figures that they showed. They showed She-Ra, they showed Grizzlor, Mantenna, and Fisto. And they all looked awesome, but for me, I guess the one that got me the most excited was Grizzlor, and this is why, is the, of course, the vintage toy and even the classics figure, and even the amazing Staction, they all have the nice fur, which I love for that. But I always remembered in Filmation, he's got that tight looking fur. It's like tight. It ain't all brushed out and like insane. And I always wondered, could they get that right? If they were to sculpt it, could they get it right in figure form, and what would it look like? And that's what they did. And see, I guess it caught my eye the most because he is that much different from the others. Not saying Fisto sucks because he looks awesome, but Fisto is, well, he's Fisto. And She-Ra, well, she's like She-Ra. Mantenna's kind of like Mantenna. Yes, it's the Filmation versions, but Grizzlor for me, he stood out the most, and I really liked him. I didn't know what you thought of him. They're all great, but I really like Grizzlor.
Grizzlor was the one I was most. I mean, well, that and Fisto. I thought Fisto looked great, but Grizzlor, because Grizzlor was my favorite of the Filmation Hordesmen as a kid. Modulox always gonna be my favorite, but Grizzlor I thought looked great. Mantenna looked spot on. I probably say I was the most impressed with Mantenna and Grizzlor because of the of how direct, like how crazy or how different they're not human. Whereas Fisto and She-Ra, they're human. They look spot off Filmation, but to get Grizzlor and Mantenna so spot on, I'm like, and that was something. Like once we got Filmation Horde, I'm like, God, I can't wait to see Leech, Grizzlor, and Mantenna, and with them looking that good, I know Modulok will look great, Shadow Weaver will look great, Multibot to get like the Filmations. I mean,
I
it
would like
continues to show you
that.
that you know what, yeah, to get like the toaster head and the gold head and
I'd love it.
on
I'd love it.
Multibot. So I it just validates that the Filmation line is going to continue to just keep kicking ass and taking names. I just was broken hearted because that's what I was waiting for the most, is getting the collector's choice and to not have any revealed. I crawled under my bed. I wrapped a blanket around me. I packed my head inside a pillow, and I didn't move for hours. If I had a sock drawer, I would have crawled in that.
Yeah, I was
Because
curious on
I
that too. I was like, wow, yeah, no collector's choice. I know that I think
Yeah.
Brian Flynn in interviews said they will be saying something coming up. He didn't say how soon though, so I don't know if that would be at PowerCon or beyond, but they have some that they're doing or have done, but they just for whatever reason didn't show them here at San Diego Comic
I
Con.
just
But
would have
there's
loved to be given a tease of something. Like, could we have gotten
yeah.
like Spydra's magic wand, maybe, or
Something.
something like that? Just something, because that's what I look forward to the most. And if anything else, it's the collector's choice line, because those are the different characters, and that's what I was the most excited for. And I mean, I'm pumped. I mean, they got my money for the Filmation sub, but God, I was so bummed. I really was to not get, because that's the thing I look forward to the most outside of what NECA releases is the classics line, and that makes or breaks my excitement every San Diego, because I'm like, they can release whatever they want. I'm more interested in what's coming in classics and then whatever NECA does. And to not have that, I mean, I'm glad we got answers, because I would just kept checking over and over again. Like, okay, maybe they're releasing this on Thursday. Maybe Friday we'll get this. Just keep checking, checking, checking. And it was a nauseating to not have any reveals.
No, but again, there will be something coming up, eventually. I don't know how soon. It kind of spreads out, I guess. Sometimes there's those gaps, especially if they hit you with everything and then you don't get nothing for a real long time. You're like, oh God, you have like the DTs, you got the shakes, like, oh, I wish I could add some more stuff. So it kind of spreads it out, a little bit of the anticipation, just like, wait a little bit, you'll get something. But I know you wanted them just like that. A lot of people probably
I
did.
wanted it now, because I just love, I'm all I just love to know what new characters are doing. Are we getting a Malaxa finally? Are we getting Azrog? Are we getting Widgets? Are we getting hell, Dragoon?
Could there be a god Skeletor and then bam, here come the movie figures or something like that?
I'm really getting to the point where I just don't think that's going to happen in the near future, period, just because of that situation. I just I, I As much as we all talk about it,
It'd be nice.
Every year you got fans. It would be nice, but it's just kind of getting where, like, I'm starting to accept the fact it ain't happening. It just is not going to happen. And, you know, plus I still think Joe needs to have Meteor's represented to still not have a single damn Meteor not have been sculpted by the Four Horsemen yet. You know, yeah, I think it would be nice.
I'd love to see their interpretation, because I'm sure it would be more than beyond just a simple egg bulbous character. I'm sure they could do some damn good details into it to make it really stand out. You know they can. They've done it with everything.
Oh, I know they can. I mean, everything they've done looks great no matter what. I think the majority of the time fans are just I don't understand some of the gripes that they do, and I feel for, you know, Brian and his crew who get all these complaints and all the hate mail and remarks and comments and stuff like that. And I'm glad he pokes fun at that when he's being interviewed about it, because it's just, you know, it's like, yes, he is aware of all the backlash he gets for this and that, and I'm glad he can make fun of it. I'm sure it's not fun to read, but, you know, it's good to know that, you know, when you're getting all this stuff, just poke fun at it and remind everybody, look, they are coming. They're just not ready yet, and we'll show them soon enough here. So, God willing, yeah, it's next month at PowerCon, you know, which would be great for everyone going to PowerCon this year to have, like, four new reveals there.
That would be cool. And I was going to say really quickly, got a new listener, Jabber DG. Thank you for joining us. And Tom Charlton and Luis Coronado, or Luis. I always want to say, I don't know if it's Luis or Luis. I don't want to get upset, but, well, thank you for joining us. And, oh, dear God, Jeremy DeWitt has joined us. Jeremy, what are you doing here, man? What the heck's going on? So
this isn't his podcast.
What the heck? He's not supposed to be here. But, yeah, he just said, Jeremy's a good man. He just said, we want Meteorbs. He says, I stand with Joe. So you're a good man. Good man. And but I just want to see if there's anybody. Okay, so I think I got everybody. But now we're going to talk about one thing. And Zen Brown just popped in. There you go. Thanks for joining us. And
one hell of a turnout, man.
There you go. Yeah, but now let's talk about the Whopper, because there's other things to talk about as well. But, of course, Snake Mountain was shown again. Now, it seems like there was some things where I was hearing, it almost was like contradicting in a way I wasn't quite sure. People wondering about the height of it, because I thought I seen on one of the pages, and I might be wrong. If I'm wrong, everybody, please correct me. I thought Joe Amaro said that Snake Mountain was going to be slightly smaller. I thought he said it. Like I said, I might be wrong. But then Brian Flynn in the interview, I swear he said it might even be slightly bigger. But the
details, that's what I heard was slightly bigger.
Yeah, exactly. Slightly bigger. And so it's not the exact one we've seen from Mattel, you know, a few years back. There's been a lot of modifications and changes. But, I mean, this thing, you've seen how it's going to – I mean, you think Castle Grayskull is big. It's going to eclipse it. And then they showed the back of it for the inside details. The only thing I'm not seeing yet is the net where the yeah. could fall and land in a net. I don't know if it's going to be added. I love the net feature from when I was a kid.
I did, too.
Yeah, I did. I loved it. It was just fun to play, and then it's like, you know, the heroes got stuck. But damn it, if they're not going to be doing some cool things. Like, what's funny is when we were talking the one week about Snake Mountain, and you were describing the sticker that you liked, you said, oh, it's the, like, what did you say, like, Baby Tongue Lasher or something?
And Rattler, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you said that, and how cool is it? You're not going to get a sticker. They sculpted these creatures coming out. Like, wow, they're giving you the Bone Throne. They're going to give you Skeletor's table to where he overlooks and sees everything. I was like, Jesus, it's going to be a lot. And the thing is that there has been no price. I know they said maybe a crowdfunding thing. I don't know if maybe even a Kickstarter, but I'm assuming if I was to take an estimated guess, I'd say at least $400 or $500, because that's if Castle Grayskull was a lot. This has got to be a big boy.
That's what just makes it really difficult for me, you know, because Castle Grayskull, God, and plus when they wanted to charge it, it was around Christmas time. It could not have picked a more worse time to charge fans a big chunk of money than at Christmas time. And, you know, I mean, I know for some people they are quite comfortable, but $300 still to me is a lot of money. And for Snake Mountain, I know for a fact that it's got to be $400-$500. I mean, that's a lot of money, man. I mean, that really is. Plus, not to mention the size of it, I can't display Castle Grayskull in my apartment. I had to take it out. So it's one of those things like, dude, if I can't display that, how the hell am I going to display Snake Mountain? And granted, it looks amazing. It really, but it's just, I'm also smacked in the face of the fact that I can't display it, and to try and make sure that I've either got an extra $100 in five installments, or a couple of installments of $225 or whatever the case may be, it just feels like it's going to be stress for some people.
They did mention a payment plan. I know he said that. Yeah. I don't know what it's going to entail. Like you said, could it be $50 every month for the entire year, and it might come up to $600? I have no clue what it'd be, but some kind of payment plan might feel a little easier on the wallet for people, because that's a lot of damn money either way, no matter how you take it. But if they have the money, it's worth it.
But it just sucks knowing it's something like that. Because people have been asking about that for years, when Matty Collector was doing it, of course, and this and that. And I just felt like, do people not care about the price? Like, aren't they not scared of how much money that thing was going to cost? I just feel like, especially when they don't have, I'm sure they have an idea, but nothing concrete. Are people not nervous about that?
That's, you know, what I'll do. How about we hit it to people right now in the chat room and get their kind of ideas? Like, okay, guys, let's say this is going to be $500. You know, payment plan, however it works and however they're going to, you know, offer it to us. I mean, is this something you can see yourself getting for $500? I mean, again, I say for people who have the money, I know it's well worth it, but you know you're going to be paying more because Castle Grayskull, that's a big boy. And if Snake Mountain is going to be eclipsing this, which you've seen it, it's not going to be a $300 thing, especially with all the accessories in it. Picture that. Yeah. I mean, just the Bone Throne itself. I mean, if they were to sell that probably separately, I bet you'd be paying $40 for just the Bone Throne and the table. You know what I mean? Those are probably $40 each. So all this is going to add up, but I'm just curious what they're going to say. Yarbrough, thank you. Sorry. I just want to say hello to Carol Yarbrough in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. But go ahead, Tyler.
Cool. No, I just wish they would start releasing like small dioramas for the figures, like small like parts of the Fright Zone, parts of Snake Mountain that you could set up a decent group, and like a little background with a visage of just small dioramas that are affordable that you could buy, parts of the Royal Palace, parts of Snake Mountain, parts of the Blood Falls, parts of the Fright Zone, whether it's the playset or the Filmation version. I just wish they would release something that's within budget, that's something that you could probably display behind a choice group of figures or all the figures. I mean, it just as an option, because I'm really not as eager to try and buy Snake Mountain because of how much it's going to cost, and I can't display it. Like, you know, when you live in an apartment, I'm lucky enough I can display what I can, but I can't. It's just I'm going to pay $500 to keep something in the box and store it and keep it in storage and not be able to enjoy it. It's just kind of,
I'm looking back at you right now at your Snake Mountain on that one shelf. And I can envision the one that they're going to put out is going to be at least two to maybe three times. It's going to be two to three times as big. It's like, wow. And if it even goes on your shelf might collapse.
Oh, no, Grayskull, I could only fit it on the box. Like itself, like, and I had it sitting at where my setup is currently right now, sitting on the box it came in. It looked too cluttered in here. Snake Mountain is probably going to go up as high as the Earl Norm posters up there sitting on the shelf, but the width of it is going to be too wide for that shelf. So it's just one of those things where, I mean, you know, I'm thankful that I'm sure some people have got setups and main case and collector's rooms where they can make room for something that big. Or can invest in a glass case or something like that. But, I mean, I don't have the setup for it, man. And to know that I can't even display it makes me worry about contemplating paying, I mean, $500,000, not including shipping, to get it here, knowing full I can't display it.
Yeah, shipping that's probably going to be probably at least another 75, maybe 100, depending. I mean, you know, I'm not quite sure, but that's a monster, and I'd hate to think about the people overseas. I feel so bad for them. Oh my God, their shipping would be insane.
That's why I just wish they would do small, sensible dioramas to set up and not worry so much. I know people love it. I know it. I am not blind to that. I just wish there was just something, you know, that you
people
could
like
just set
it.
Up with. Yeah.
What you're saying about dioramas, like Matt Douglas, thank you for joining us in the chat room. He said he loved dioramas as well. And Jabber DG, he said he'd like to see Hordak's throne. Chris Simpson said Whispering Woods diorama. That would be awesome too.
Yeah, all that great stuff.
I
just feel like offering these small, sensible setups, it just, they're so much more easier on the wallet. that fit better on a shelf, you know, where you could purchase the accessory parts like small trees or Skeletor's bone throne and buy the table, but you would buy, like, you know, kind of like how NECA did the Predator's trophy case or Freddy Krueger's boiler room, and you could turn the boiler on. You know, small little setups that you could use to display the figures on, whether it's interior, like the Grayskull throne room, or just the exterior Grayskull on the jaw. I mean, just small setups. I wish they would do something like that. Those I could see buying all of them because
And how cool could that be for the sorceress? You could see the inside of Grayskull going to her throne. That steps leading up to that, and her sitting in her throne. That would probably be a cool ass piece for her too.
It would. I mean, I just feel like to do something like that, there would be endless possibilities. I mean, you could do, you know, Negator's throne. You could do Hordak's throne in the Fright Zone. You could do I even think a diorama of the Fright Zone vintage playset. That would work more because it's a smaller setup. And or the slime pit. Hell, I mean, having the slime pit set up. I just worry about making sure you got enough money for this stuff and having room to display it. And that's why I just wish they would offer something like that and see how well it does. If it does well, then they can branch out and do some for She-Ra, do some for Skeletor's crew, the Snake Man, so on and so forth.
That's a possibility. I mean, maybe it's something they just need to hear more of. And a lot of people in the chat room said that payment plans, I mean, they said depending on how the payment plan works, that they would be for it. So, I mean, sure. And again, I'd love to have it. But I mean, and plus, like you said, you might run out of room, but if you can squeeze and move stuff around, it could be cool. But the whole diorama thing is another thing that could definitely work and would be a great additional option to, you know, display figures with when you can't maybe afford the big castles or the Snake Mountain playsets. Because I wouldn't even want to envision Eternia. That will never happen. If that happens, you're done. You're broke.
No. And I can't afford the vintage one, let alone, you know, a brand new one done by the Four Horsemen that's going to dwarf, you know, I want to try and do that. I feel like, you know what, I'd rather just have stuff that can enhance the display value and not really have to worry so much about, oh my God, I've got a payment of $150 on top of bills, and I got a flat tire. I got to pay that in labor and this and that, and the rent's due in 2 weeks. And, you know, I don't know. It's got to be. I can't be the only one that finds it difficult to afford stuff like that. So that's why I just wish there was another option.
Well, we'll see what kind of payment plans.
Yeah, we'll see what comes down the pipeline.
Exactly, which I'm hoping, you know, it'll be something great for everybody because, you know, beyond, like I said, talking about all the price and the inners and stuff, but the outer display of Castle Grayskull, the combination of the vintage Snake Mountain, the vintage Snake Mountain playset, along with Snake Mountain from the cartoon, like kind of intertwining both designs to be one. I mean, it is quite striking from the outside as well. It does look so impressive. I love that kind of like that waterfall or the blood falls that they have showing. That's another thing.
I mean, they could not have done a better job on making it look vintage, but throw in the Filmation aspects of it as well. It's a work of art. It really is. It's stunning. And I would love to be able to display it proudly the way it should be, with all the Evil Warriors displayed all over it, Skeletor standing prominently at the top of it. But I can't do it, man. And that's what sucks, too, is to buy something that I can't actually put on display. It just kind of makes me feel like, dude, do I even want to try?
The one thing I didn't hear also, beyond, you know, all the looks of it, I didn't quite hear did they mention, is the microphone, is there going to be any electronics that are going to be used within Snake
Mountain? That part I don't know. I liked how the microphone was set up. Like, it looked really cool as part of the interior of Skeletor's throne room. But I don't recall if they said that it was going to, you know, have any electronics to where you could talk into it.
Yeah, because I know the previous idea was they were going to involve Bluetooth and music and
things. Yeah, I remember that, and all that sounded cool. It really did. But
yeah, it did, which would be cool. I mean, I just admit, just the simple gimmick alone of doing the microphone from when I was a kid, I talk about just hours of fun just sitting there and talking and having your voice be evil is so fun. And I could picture new kids doing that with the new Snake Mountain as well, speaking within that microphone. But I guess that's more things we'll have to find out. So definitely when we hear stuff, we'll definitely be talking about it on the podcast and seeing what everybody else thinks about that as well. So that is one big epic piece. But Now, the other stuff they showed was, I think they were just samples. I don't think it was the actual ready ones shipped out, but I thought they showed some carded pictures of He-Man, Skeletor, She-Ra, and Hordak on the single vintage 5.5 inch.
Yeah.
Did you see those?
I saw those, and Brian said that they were not the actual samples because they were stapled onto the card. So,
okay, because
yeah.
I'm sure I think that's how the paint apps on the figures would look. Though, I mean, there's nothing else to really change. Did they mention, or is that would be probably what they look like? Because I think that's what you got the two packs.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine them being any different.
All right, so those were mentioned, and of course we still have never seen, you know, we haven't seen anything of Hero or Eldor, which I'm still antsy on seeing them and also seeing the cards they use, because I'm hoping it's the Powers of Grayskull original cards that they were going to. I mean, you figure they would. And I think he said that they would like to be doing more with the 5.5 inch line, so we'll see where that goes, because I start thinking, am I imagining things and making up stuff in my head? Because didn't they show a Man-at-Arms and Beast Man in vintage 5.5 at one? Okay, they didn't show, but not at this one, did they?
Nope.
Hmm. That one had me confused. I was just surprised we didn't see any further progress on them or even mock-up cards.
Almost feel like at this point they're waiting to see the kind of demand that they're getting for it. Even though he's already said that they're going to make them available on a regular, to where, like, once they're done taking pre-orders, they're going to make sure they've still got plenty so that if you didn't pre-order it, you can still get them at your leisure. But I almost feel like, you know, they're probably waiting to see how high the demand is now that they're actually going through it before they greenlight Man-at-Arms and Beast Man and to bring in characters like Lizard Man, Icer, Strong Arm, Malaktha, whoever.
Right, right.
You know, so that's – obviously, I think they know the demand for Hero and Eldor is there.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, no, most definitely that demand is there. We've been waiting years for them, so it'll be, you know, great to finally have them. They also, the other cool thing was coming from Mattel, not Super 7, but Mattel. What they did was they were showing things that were like teasing of what could be. Okay, I can't remember if it was last year or a couple years back, they had that She-Ra doll. It was, I don't know if it was 10 inches or how tall it was. Well, she was like, I think $75 at the show, and everybody thought, wow, that's a big price. And then they actually had to, like, I think they were stuck with a couple thousand of her, you know, of excess stock they didn't sell, and they put it on the Shop Mattel site for maybe $30. I couldn't remember the exact price, but they showed, like, well, here's what Catcher might look like or somebody else, and they wanted to do, you know, try a campaign. You know, you guys got to say, we want more She-Ra or more Masters, but it just didn't get the response they wanted. They showed them again, and they also showed, I believe, Evil-Lyn and Teela in that kind of style, in case people are interested. But they showed sneaking around was a 5.5-inch anti-attorney He-Man, a 5.5-inch slime pit He-Man, which it kind of said slime zombie He-Man, and it had a whole...
Which I hated that. I was like, don't call him a damn zombie.
Yeah, it's... I always just think of, you know, like a slime monster He-Man or whatever, but... They gave him a horde symbol, which he did not have in that mini comic, but I guess they
would. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, I keep saying, if I want a slime pit He-Man, I want him slimed, and I want a new head. I want him looking evil. It's a cool idea to try to get interest in it, because they said, these are things that are testing the waters, because is it possible those could be at retail? Because some people were mentioning, talking about, well, what's going on with She-Ra? Are you guys going to be making more stuff of her? And I can't remember the gentleman's name, I apologize, but whoever represented Mattel, I believe he said that they're going to try to make figures based off of the new She-Ra cartoon. Those should be at retail. And those should be at retail. But also, they said for not the classic figures, but classic style vintage She-Ra, for those fans who want that, they might even bring like maybe a collector's line into retail as well. So it's like, I guess, all test in the water with what Mattel would do. So I'm curious to see what they would do, but I don't know everything they have planned.
I was just kind of bummed that with them trying to get back into the He-Man business, all they had to show was just varying He-Man figures. Like, it still just kind of is like that mentality that Mattel is only going to do stuff that they can just recycle the same mold over and over and over again, like they've done with Barbie and Hot Wheels for years. That's what they rely on, is for using the same And I mean, anti-attorney human always looks cool. I would love to have that myself, but I just kind of felt like, you know, they're showcasing figures wearing like their fanny pack and mask. I'm like, I'm not impressed by any of this. You know,
that was silly.
I know, but still, like, this is how you're testing the waters to see if there's a demand from Mattel to release more stuff. And I just felt like, this is it? This is all you got? Dolls and just He-Man variants? You know,
you know, I had a question.
Something else out there to make people look like this is a serious effort and not just, let's see how many times we can repaint He-Man over and over again and see if people want to pay an upward price of $20 at their nearest Walmart or Target for a variant, you know.
No, you're right. Honestly, though, I guess that's what had me confused is, you know, Super 7 is making the 5.5-inch figures and the 6.5 and, you know, bigger figures, but I mean, is Mattel? I mean, like you said, they test the waters with two painted He-Man variants. But could we get figures for them as well? I was like, I thought Super 7's doing it. I mean, are they going to split between making it? I remember
Brian said when we talked to Mattel, wanted to get in on this business that was supposed to be launching within the next year or so. And I think it had something to do with Hero and Eldor. But yeah, it's just like, okay, look, you know, I know. You obviously there's a demand for the vintage size, but can we stop getting He-Man? Can we start mixing it up? You know, I'd like to think that, you know, is it strictly always just going to be, and even so, like if they're trying to appeal to casual He-Man fans are not going to know what the slime pit / zombie variant and probably not the anti-attorney He-Man either.
Definitely not anti. Not
so
the
that's
casual
why I kind of
fan,
felt like, how is that testing the water so much? If, I mean, those are things that, you know, a hardcore to a pretty big fan of He-Man is going to know what those are. And that's why I kind of felt like, what's the game plan here? Like, what do you, it's just, I feel like if you're trying to pique interest, I think they should have done something a little bit more outside the box and not just strictly another He-Man variant. Cause I just felt like, come on, people, show that you're not just thinking, just very narrow-minded, is just variants of He-Man and Skeletor, and that's it. You know, I it's hard for me to get excited when it's just more He-Man, more Skeletor, more He-Man, more Skeletor.
Especially variant. Because I was going to say, especially if you do take it back to the days when they were doing the figures back in the 80s, we didn't get tons and tons of variants. You got one, maybe.
No, you got one a year.
That's it.
And not every year. It wasn't every year either. We didn't get one in 87, and we didn't get one in 83. It wasn't until 1984, 2 years into the line, before we got our first variant of He-Man and Skeletor. Now that says something, and I just feel like that mentality is a prehistoric dynasty of saying we've got to make sure we keep reusing the same molds over and over and over again. And if people don't buy it, well, then apparently they don't like this line. And just like with 2000X, was just reusing the same molds over and over again, and ignoring the fact you're not putting out enough of the secondary characters, and just stop making it strictly variants of your two flagship characters. So
yeah,
go ahead.
For retail, no, you're right. No, you're fine. But no, as for retail, if that is the, you know, the figures that a casual He-Man fan would go, because, you know, I can tell you the story later about a fan of He-Man that I seen at the comic book store the other day, and he didn't even know about new stuff being out, which was kind of a cool story. But that's what I mean. If a casual fan went in the store and they did see Slime Pit He-Man or Anti-Attorney He-Man, they could be really confused. I mean, they wouldn't understand. Like, I don't remember that as in the 80s. I don't remember that in a cartoon. And then you got to explain, oh, well, that was, you know, based off of a German audio play for the Anti-Attorney He-Man. Oh, and Slime Pit He-Man, he appeared in Escape from the Slime Pit. And they're like, I don't remember any of this. As cool as they may be, and especially for hardcore fans, but yeah, to walk in the store, I don't know if that would be the thing you want to represent.
They said on the pegs, because your casual He-Man fan is not going to know what they are. They're going to, why is He-Man have black skin, white eyes, and red hair, and red, but they would be peg warmers, because your casual fans are not going to know what it is. And I hate
cool
even,
for us, but
yeah. That's I just wish that was a little bit more ambitious, because I mean they're a juggernaut. I feel like they can afford, if you're going to do it, go all out and take pride in this and give it your best effort. You know, you've waited long enough since 2000X to bring it back to retail. If you're going to do it right and show that you care and not, I don't know, just come on, let's spice it up a little bit here. I just get tired of everything is just around like the same 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 characters, and that's it. Like, they're always so afraid to throw in a Spike or throw in a Fisto here and there, you know? It's just, you know, I just always felt that way about He-Man. Like, don't give me what we already have. We've got a massive roster of heroes and villains. Mix it up here.
Yeah, it would be great. I mean, it would be great. So we'll see what's happening with Mattel then here in a little bit in the future as well.
Am I coming off as really negative here tonight, Joe?
No. I mean, like I said, you're giving great points. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it'd be the same thing. If I was to be a casual He-Man fan in the store, I would be quite confused with seeing those, not wondering, well, what are these characters? I mean, it's like, okay, like a cool thing they did, even though it is the same damn thing, but when the commemorative line came out a while back and they had all those cool figures and
got
them
right over here on display. I love those things.
It's awesome how they looked, awesome how they're packaged, but could you picture within doing that, you also had the newer figures sitting next to those. Obviously, people gravitate like, oh, then this might be something. You're looking back like, oh, it's cool. It's He-Man. You're kind of addicted. Like, I'm getting stuff I remember and new stuff. But just to give you kind of new things that are confusing, I don't know. But, hey, that's what I mean. I don't know what the game plan is between Super 7 and Mattel. Like, would they possibly have loved to tried possibly to get those 5.5-inch figures from Super 7 out at retail, and at the same time, Mattel could release the Slime Pit He-Man and Anti-Attorney with a wave with them. Then you might get people thinking, well, that's kind of different, but just to give that and that's it, you're not going to have a
casual.
Yeah,
I feel like that's not testing the waters. That's doing the bare minimum, almost as if, like, well, we had some fans who work for us, they threw these together. They're big passion fans. Like, well, that may be, but that's not going to get people excited about it. If you're looking to do a new line, all you're willing to do is more variants. And that to me, that's not enough. You know, if you throw in, you know, a couple of curveballs at us. Oh, wow. If Mattel's thinking about doing that, I'd buy the whole wave of that. I'd pre-order a whole wave of that. But I can't get excited over more variants, man. I'm so sick of companies doing that. I mean, NECA did it so much with a lot of their toys, too. You're like, man, I can't keep buying the same mold with a different paint job over and over again. At one point, I'm just like, you know what? Enough's enough. Yeah. So no, I really would love for Mattel to get into it. I really hope that there's something bigger and a little bit deeper that they're working on. I just wish they had a better presentation, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it was a surprise they even popped up anyways. Nobody even expected anything from them. But you're right. Maybe by another show, maybe there'll be a little bit more and we can see exactly what they
Well, they're coming to PowerCon. We do know that. So maybe at PowerCon, they'll have something a little bit more in depth. I'm hoping at PowerCon, it'll just be balls to the wall, like reveal here, reveal there. It'd be the greatest show on earth. Great, you know.
It'd be cool to see what they do have. And now, beyond all that, I was like, I don't think I can remember anything else. Now, see, this is me because my mind was racing a million, miles an hour. I was like, oh, wait, I'm sorry. And I know people might jump like, Joe, we've heard this for 3 years straight, but Mondo showed again. Well, here's the thing. Mondo, which, they're doing those big old 12-inch figures, and they did Ninja Turtle ones as well, but they have these 12-inch He-Man, Skeletor, Faker. They unveiled Merman as well, and I believe they said they were going to be coming out in 2019, and they're $160. They're big. I mean, they're big figures, but I was like, I can't afford those as well.
No.
They're cool, but that's a lot. But 3 years, people have been seeing the He-Man and Skeletor, and then Faker kind of slid in, I think, the previous year, so some people kept saying, how many years are they going to show these things? This is like the movie. It's just never going to happen. But like I said, they're going to happen, but they're pricey. And yeah, some people didn't even know about them. Some of the people on my wall said, Joe, I can't be affording another line. I was like, well, this isn't really a new line per se, like how Classics is, to where you're going to get 50 of these things or more. It's just going to probably be a limited, I don't know, what would you think, maybe 8 or less? Because how the hell could you display 50 of these 12-inch figures? You
well, not to mention, they're not going to fly off the shelf at a price like that. They're just not going to. So, you know.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of money for people to shell out. I mean, I know people love to collect the quarter-scale figures. But, hell, when NECA's putting out, you know, a lot of their quarter-scale stuff at $80 to $100, I mean, that's tough on the wallet, too, but, you know.
They're awesome-looking figures. I got to admit that. They are awesome.
They do look great. Every single one of them look phenomenal. But, I'm like, God, I'm tired of not having too many options hell, even the loyal subjects, $15 and not even know who the hell you're getting. You know, it's just getting to where it's just like, they want tons of money. Give us lots of cash, you know, because, you know, it's just, God, you just can't afford anything anymore.
Yes.
Maybe it's just, you know what? I take that back. Joe ain't the one who's poor. I'm the one who's poor, man.
It's like, whoa, Jesus. Like, that's
I'm the one going to the soup line and looking, taking like a scrap of bread, eating the same, what, soup again? You know, and just eating it every day because I can't afford Mondo He-Man figures. I can't afford Loyal Subjects. I can't afford Snake Mountain. I can't afford to even keep up with the damn collecting anymore except classics. I'll continue to fork over my government check to continue to pay for that and ignore eating food and hoping to God I can adapt well to Joe's, you know, how to live long and prosperous off the McDonald's dollar menu.
I could sure teach you guys some tricks, some frugal stuff, some really cheap, miser ways of eating food and getting by. And, oh, also, Jason Bean, thank you for joining us. He popped up during the chat as well, so thank you for joining us. But, yeah, those Loyal Subjects, it's as cool as the figures look. I mean, I always hate the, you know, when I'd go and I'd get a double on double, that's why it's like I couldn't keep buying. I was like, I can't keep getting that Skeletor or that Triclops over and over like this. I got to have the money. And you've seen so many people then reselling. And they have a big lineup of a lot of new figures finally coming, which are cool as hell, but... Again,
I'm not going to buy a single one because I'm not going to continue to waste money just when I feel like, look, if I want Fisto, I want Fisto. I don't want to feel like I'm going to be stuck buying, you know, a character I've already got. And I just, that's why I've only got two. And I hesitated to pull the trigger on those two. So it's just, I just wish it was just a lot more easier and a little bit more. Look, if you're going to charge a certain amount, I like to know that, you know, I'm not at risk. Or if you're, I don't know, God. I just, or I'm hell, poor.
It would be nice. No, I mean, it'd be nice, excuse me, the Loyal Subjects horror figures that recently came out. They have like a window box. It's a box, but it's a window, and you can see. And I guess, I don't know if people said that one in a case has a darkened window, which would represent the chase, or maybe not even. It's like you're not guaranteed. I was like, guys, I don't understand what the hell everybody's talking about. But if I can at least see the main figures I'm getting, I'd be happy with that. So if they actually showed you're getting, here's your Ram Man, Sorceress, King Randor, and a Fisto. Like, and there's others as well. If you've seen you're getting them, then I'd be like, okay, you know what? I could be inclined to do that. But I can't take that risk at $12 to $15 a pop to keep getting duplicates. It's just, that's a lot of money.
And I would not argue the $15 price point if I knew what I was getting. But I hate that damn gimmick of, you don't know what you're going to get, man. You may get four of the same figures, man. We still got all your money. That's the gamble. And like, I shouldn't have to gamble when I'm trying to buy damn He-Man figures.
Yeah. At that pop, 12 to 15 is a lot. But
it's just, yeah. I ain't doing it. I ain't doing
it. No, it is. It's a whole lot. But, well, I think we mentioned pretty much everything that I can think of. If I missed something, I apologize. But, well, beyond all that, we wanted to show some love for some New Adventures and discuss one of the episodes of New Adventures, and that's when I'm going to pass it to Tyler so he can talk about it. But it doesn't get enough love. You know, again, if you watch the cartoon, and like I said, it does have continuity with it, but they have a lot of – there's a vast array of characters that, again, are unique, and you can only picture if there was something like, you know, in the day of Filmation, they would have probably blended in well. It was a different art style, a whole different kind of cartoon. Some people didn't really jive to it, but – why don't you start us off with the episode you want to talk about? It's not a commentary. We're just doing some discussing on it.
No, and, you know, it's been a while since I've watched this episode, and I didn't remember it being as kind of hard to watch as it was.
Yeah, because when you mentioned it and I watched it, I was like, that was a little painful at times, but...
all right, I just have to say this again, and I don't mind saying it. I've said it several times. The cartoon is a hard sell. It really is. And as I've gotten older, you know, it's the music's not that epic in the show. The scientists, you just want to just stick a spoon up your butt to take your mind off the pain of like, God, you're like, who thought this was a good idea? They don't have the best voice acting for a lot of the villains. You know, like Staghorn and Butthead, who are featured prominently in this episode. You know, it's.
And the scientists, unfortunately, which you want to strangle.
Yeah, well, like I said, I picked Skeletor's victory because I told you it's been a while since I've watched a vast array of the episodes. It's just been a while, but I remember the 5-part storyline where Skeletor and the mutants take over Primus. He-Man's on the run. He ends up getting captured and surrendering himself, and then they just kind of, it's kind of like a Star Wars kind of thing.
I was going to bring that up later. Yeah.
It's a lot like Star Wars in that regard, but going back and rewatching today, I thought, oh man, Joe's going to wonder why I picked this. And it's just one of those things of like, you know what, the cartoon itself, and that's what I mean. Me and Joe talked about this earlier this week. I mean, the episode, if you want to know what the episode is, it's the second part in the 5-part story arc where Skeletor and Flog set up Primus with a mock peace offering of these Zeps that turn into Anadroids that look like ice hackers from the Dragon's Gift, except a little bit more ferocious. They look pretty scary looking, but they're really just robots. But they inhabit the entire planet and cause chaos ensues, which allows Flog and the mutants to invade Primus successfully. He-Man's on the run trying to get help and just pretty much puts Skeletor in charge of everything. You know, it ends with the climax of He-Man surrenders himself and then causes a bit of rebellion on like the big kind of celebration of Skeletor's victory and everything like that. But I mean, Joe, I'm sorry I picked this episode because
no, that's okay. No, because no, and it's fine. Like I said, I just wanted to watch it. It's like I know there was a time I think like I selected one of those golden the Super Adventure books, and you know read it. You said you haven't read it in a while, and I think before the show started, you were like, why the hell did you pick that book to read? It's like out of all books, I think it was A Hero in Need, or wait, I'm sorry, I don't know if it was A Hero in Need.
Well, I mean, Hero in Need is just such a forgettable, lackluster, unenthusiastic. I mean, it's not like The Trap where the art is just so bad. You're just like, oh my God, man, this is just, it's a pain to get through. And that's the thing about the New Adventures cartoon. You know, I want to sell people on that it's a great idea. Like the storyline of what He-Man and Skeletor are doing, the new roster of heroes and villains that are featured. It has so much great potential, and I feel like it had been given a much more serious tone, and obviously the show was written for kids, and Jack Olesker wrote the vast majority of the episodes. This is what he was told to do, and wrote it the best he could and everything, given the guidelines and everything. But I feel like the show hit, like this story arc that I had Joe watch the second part of, as I'm watching it, I mean, the voice acting is what's killing it, you know, not the visual designs and stuff like that. You know, I love the mutant troopers and everything. Karate and Hoover featured in cameos, and you got Quake and everything, but it's just not executed right. And when you got all the villains come off as the most unthreatening villains you could possibly imagine, it's hard to sell it. But if you look at the figures and the card art and what the Four Horsemen have done with, you know, Flipshot and Hydron and Karate and Optic and Slushhead, you know, there's so much potential. And the story itself, I think, is a tremendous idea. I think it's so cool because what I told Joe is that, I mean, aside from what Skeletor and He-Man are going through, there are so many stories to be told based on their absence. Like, I've never was really a fan of, like, in the first episode when Skeletor's all of Eternity and the Dark Hemisphere all becomes packed with flowers and stuff, like Skeletor's time on Eternia caused all this dark, deep depression and parts of it, and now everything's blooming and looking beautiful. I'm like, no. Like, who's going to be running the Evil Warriors? And with Skeletor gone, you know, who's going to take over as the more dominant faction? Is the Horde going to move in? Who's going to fill in the void for He-Man? Because you feel like she was on the theory.
Yeah, because that's something we will. We're going to branch right into that. I'll quickly do a little more Skeletor's victory, just discuss this episode. And then when we were rambling and spitballing what you were saying, I think that could even make it a little more fun for, you know, possibility of things that could have been. But the Skeletor's victory, you're right. He-Man is basically, he's on the run, and Skeletor is wanting to find He-Man. I mean, he's got all his scouts out looking for him. So, of course, there's the time where He-Man's figuring if he goes into town, he's going to be noticed, so he turns back into Prince Adam. And then you bring up the Star Wars vibe, which I'm sure you already know what I'm going to say. I don't know it word for word, but at one point, I believe it was Butthead that confronted Prince Adam, wondering what he was doing out there, and Prince Adam said, he had a reply, and the Butthead said something, but then the sorceress through Prince Adam's eyes was then speaking and like doing mind control on Butthead, like, this isn't who you're looking for, or let him go. I was like, wait a second, are we having a little Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Force thing, you know, with the Jedi mind tricks? And then I couldn't get that out of my damn head, because then I'm looking at those troopers that reminded me of stormtroopers.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the terror treads or whatever they call it that reminded me of AT-ATs. I'm like, damn it, why does it? I can't get it out of my head. You know what I mean? I was like, I can't get that out of my head now for the episode.
Which, you know, I think in that regard, it works if you just had, you know, better voice acting, a better score for the show. Like, I mean, as I'm watching it, I mean, that episode and the story they're trying to tell has got a lot of potential. Like, it's fun to see Skeletor and the mutants being successful, that they're in charge now. Now is trying to rally the troops and travel to various parts of Primus, trying to get help and things like that, while Skeletor is on a massive manhunt trying to hunt down He-Man. That's an interesting story. It's just unfortunate that, you know, they just don't have enough of the elements. When you watch Filmation, and we've said before, Filmation has its fair share of duds, but sure, some of the writing, it was so perfect and the animation so good and used right due to great direction, you kind of feel like you can make the best with a very little. In this show, there's new animation, they're not reusing a lot of stock animation, things like that. It's just, it just doesn't look as pleasant as a Filmation. I just feel like it's not given the proper treatment that it needed. Because I still think, and I just come out and said this episode is not very good, and it's not. But there's a great story there. It's like, okay, you've got a great piece of mold here, and someone says, okay, I'm done with it. I'm like, I see where you're going with this. It needs more work, though. And that's how I look at this cartoon, that there's a lot of potential in the stories that Jack Alester was trying to tell. And due to bad voice acting and a much more grandiose score, and probably, you know, a little bit more animation, stuff like that. I think, okay, that would be hammered home. Like, okay, this is great. Even though it's similar to Star Wars, I don't care if you pull from Star Wars, because you're telling a good story here. It just needs to be chiseled away at a bit more, you know?
Exactly. No, you're right with every single thing you said, because it is. It's all about the presentation. It doesn't matter how good that story can be. It's, like you said, how can it be animated? The voice, the atmosphere of the music and the sound effects, that all sucks and draws you into any cartoon. And when it kind of falls flat, it just might not. Well, you're sitting there thinking, oh, I guess it was kind of good. Because like I said, it's not putting down New Adventures, you know, in any means. Because you're right, the stories and what they were thinking was great, along with all the new characters. But especially when you're looking at things when you're as a, you know, a kid, through a lot of people, not all, but a lot through the Filmation eyes, It's a drastic change when you look to see this. And then you said the voice acting, while yes, it might not have been Oscar worthy and award, you know, winning voice acting on Filmation, maybe we were just more familiar. Because like I said, this episode, with having some things that weren't that great, was still good, but it was what we were spitballing, like, you know, what if in a crazy world, let's say that this cartoon, when they started to do another season of New Adventures, but what about when they went back to Eternia? What if it went back to hypothetically in the Filmation style that we know, and the voices? And now all those characters, that whole great new cast of characters that was in New Adventures, from Optic and Staghorn and Sagittar and everybody, are now brought into the Filmation look. And with that voice and everything, you wonder, could that have changed people's impressions? Because some people said they just hate New Adventures. It's like, okay, do you hate New Adventures? Or maybe is it just the style you're looking at that you're not really jiving with? You know what I mean? Could it have just transcended differently if it went to Filmation in a perfect world, let's say?
Well, not only that, but I think just, you know, and I think Jack Alester wrote some good stories. It's just everything else was just not executed as well. Like with a lot of, you know, Filmation stories, like you could see how this could have been a good idea, but from script to screen, you know, changes get made. Creatures don't come out designed the way the writer intended to, and they kind of phone in some of the voice acting. Words you're like, man, you know, John Orwin did such a great job with that. How is it he's botching this? Or Lou Scheimer is not really. They're not really doing a getting more different. It just sounds very generic and bland and kind of kid like, and you kind of feel like this could have been good, but they screwed that up or they screwed this up, and to not have. And that's what makes Filmation that much more of a masterpiece for me, is when you have, you know, the same stock animation, but you've got great music by Shuki Levy, who we hear a lot of the pieces of music throughout He-Man and She-Ra, but used in the proper context that same bit of music you've heard in so many episodes amplifies and intensifies the situation that He-Man's dealing with right now because of good directing and good storytelling. That, okay, I buy this. You buy into the situation, even though you've seen the same stock animation, you've heard the same music.
It works.
You know,
you're right.
It works. And that's why I feel like new adventures can be done the same way. You know, we don't need to see, you know, Butthead talking like, you know, a Guido thug from the streets of Brooklyn. You know, I'm like, that's not what I picture for Butthead. You know, I don't picture Karate having a stereotypical Asian accent just because his name's Karate. I'm like, no, I picture him as more like, well, like what the Four Horsemen did, kind of like a predator-like character, like a silent assassin. Who?
How cool could it have been? I mean, but you're right. See, that's the thing. Filmation just absolutely, it just sucked you in. That is one thing that no doubt that they nailed was the music and from the sound effects. I mean, sometimes people might even want to gripe at Filmation saying, okay, the animation wasn't that amazing. You know, they had to keep reusing stuff. But the thing is, I mean, their music and sound effects, first, they nailed it. But picture, as you've seen throughout the years, and that's from the Filmation He-Man and She-Ra cartoon, just both fantastic when it brings in the atmosphere. But as you know, as it was evolving, there was a lot of different, quite unique animation for He-Man, and especially for She-Ra, as that was the newer cartoon. So you can picture, I'm sure they would have did a ton of new animation for all these new characters. I just know I would have probably lost it if all of them characters came in Filmation style, and this was another new season, and now you had a whole new brand new cast of heroic warriors, evil warriors, and then got it from the figures. Because, again, even going figures' sake, you know, for the sake of figures, when I was a kid, I'm used to, yes, the He-Man Master of the Universe style figure. So when I see New Adventures, not knowing what in the hell it was, I was like, what is this? It was weird for me. I just, to see everything with a different twist, I'm not saying that's what's going to make it better, because there's people that love the style of New Adventures as for the cartoon and toys, but just a unique twist. That's why I said we're always spitballing just ideas. We're not saying this is the right thing and listen to everything we said. It's just a unique twist of what could have been. So many good things.
And plus, too, I mean, the whole mythology and the idea of New Adventures, I just feel to this day still. I know over the years, I think more and more people are coming around to it. And of course, you got some people who just chomp at the bit, waiting for somebody to bring up New Adventures. Oh, great! I can tell them I think it, you know, effing sucks, you know, or something like that. Whereas I'm like, wait. All right, step back and stop trying to be like, oh, I'm so cool because I'm so anti against this, you know. Stop and think about the story they're trying to tell there. Like, to me, it's a fascinating story. And that's why I've always supported it. And anybody that would pay homage to it, I thought, okay, they get it. And then you look at the whole stories that would take place with He-Man's Skeletor being gone. You know, I mean, with He-Man being gone, the protector of the entire planet is gone. So, okay, how do you fill that void? That's a story in itself. And, like, I just felt like you wouldn't fill the void, but Eternity would be under more scrutiny, more constant threats, because now the protector of the entire planet is gone. You've got everybody. I mean, I'd imagine the Snake Men and the Evil Warriors are probably like causing mutiny amongst themselves because everybody's fighting for, you know, the leadership role of Skeletor, thinking he won't come back. You know, King Hiss, and then the Horde. Do you think, okay, with He-Man gone, Skeletor's gone, we've got Etheria. She-Ra can't completely defeat us, but we can't really defeat her. Should we set our sights on Eternia with their greatest champion and their greatest villain gone? Like, you just kind of feel like, oh my God. Like, it makes, this is like in a wrestling, in a wrestling storyline, when your big flagship star is sidelined due to injury, is going to go make a movie. Now you've got to create a brand new baby face to fill in a void and allow some other stars to rise to the occasion and give them some more responsibility and carry on until your big stars come back from injury or shooting a movie. So would that give Plant Champ, Fisto, Cyclone, Mossman, Extendar, Snout Spout, or Jitsu, Clawful, Cobra Khan, Webstore, Too Bad, Blade, Sorod, all these opportunities for all these other guys to rise up and have a bigger spot, and then dealing with all these other factions, all these other one-shot villains. The Sorceress is there. She's still confined to Grayskull. Who the hell does she give, or does she give anybody? Like, I'm the Sorceress. Our protector's gone. Do I come up with another power source to give to another champion to defend us right now? Because she knows He-Man's alive, fighting in the future. So I just feel like, God, there's so much to be had there, and no one's doing anything about it.
Excuse me. No, you're right. And that's what makes everything you said, that's what makes the possibility is that cooler, because you know how, okay, I know that before, like, I mess with you when we watch a Filmation episode, like when we just watched, when we did.
And my fist stops right at your face, you know?
Exactly. Like when we were talking about Evelyn's plot, and I was like, why didn't Beastman and Merman just fly the Basher over into the Widget's forest? Just do that. And they wouldn't have to worry about climbing. You're like, but Joe, that doesn't make a build up, and you don't have these epic moments, which leads me to this. See, I always thought, okay, I heard that, you know, like, let's say if in New Adventures, they went and had another season, that He-Man would go back to Eternia, but it would be a couple years later, possibly. I always thought, okay, if you're dealing with a vehicle that's basically something that can take you to the future, why doesn't it take you right back to the past 2 minutes after the ship went to the future? Then it's like you never left. There's nothing bad happening. But within saying that, you wouldn't get all these cool other stories. That's why, yes, I could understand if they'd want to do it a couple years later. Now you're seeing what's been going on while He-Man and Skeletor has been gone. Who's been taken up in, you know, the reins for being the leader of the evil warriors? Was it Evil-Lyn? Like I said, could have been this, you know, Jitsu or somebody else. And same thing with the heroic warriors. Did they have to really triple up their defense of Castle Grayskull? Or did Sorceress give somebody power? Or does the Sorceress step up and have to constantly defend Grayskull in a different way? That's what makes unique stories. So, yeah, I'm always the one that says, okay, just go right back to where it was 2 minutes later. You never left. But with doing that, you don't get the fun kind of other stories.
No, I'd like to think that there are consequences for these guys, for Skeletor, you know, being so rash in his thinking of like, no, I'm going to, it's, well, not really rash in thinking, but these two are stuck going to the future. You know, I mean, He-Man has been asked, Skeletor gets involved, they take off, and because of that, them leaving, He-Man's done a great service for the future and for the planet of Primus and the people who live there. But when he comes back, is his homeworld in jeopardy? Is there people who feel like, you know what, we've gotten along without you, He-Man, we don't need you anymore? There's a story too. Like, have they successfully kept the evil warriors and the rest of their factions at bay? Or are they mad at him because they're hanging on by the skin of their teeth and keeping the Royal Palace and Grayskull in safekeeping, but they can't, they know it's inevitable that they will lose at some point because He-Man's gone and they don't know if he'll ever come back. And because the Skeletor is being gone, all the other factions are fighting for supremacy of that area over, you know, who's the dominant force on it.
Picture that too. What if Evil-Lyn, let's say Evil-Lyn finally did, she took over Snake Mountain, and when Skeletor returns, she's not going to allow it. She's having people attack after Skeletor. Now Skeletor, with his new evil warriors from the future, have to create another lair, and now there's even battle within the evil warriors. There's so many cool-ass possibilities.
And I'm like, God, people, you know, it's... I know people by... They're quick to judge. Of course, we do it about the She-Ra cartoon and the Thundercats, new Thundercats cartoon, too. But I really don't see it getting any better for those two things. But with this, I'm looking at the story they're trying to tell. I'm not trying to say on the animation, because the animation is, you know, at times it was quite good, other times it's like, so I'm not selling you on that. I'm selling you on the story and the concept and the characters. So that's why I feel like this argument is supersedes, you know, well, you guys are bashing She-Ra and Thundercats, you didn't even give it any chance. I'm like, I'm not bashing the story, I'm bashing the presentation of what we're giving. And I'm not trying to encourage the presentation of adventures. I'm trying to say, look a little deeper here, people. There's a lot to be had, a lot of stories, a lot of great build-up and fights that could be had just from this story taking place, you know.
And they did great. No, they did. And they did great with the cartoon, with, like, even the continuity. It's like, we didn't get that with... Yeah, with the Masters of the Universe, we didn't get that in Filmation. You know, I mean, could there be a reference to something? Sure, but it wasn't like each week when you would watch this, then they say Last Time in New Adventures or whatever, and they're showing what would happen, then it led into it. It's like it kept going, and I know there's so many people that love continuity. So people love that would just eat this up, because it's just going to keep building, building, building. And that's why, I can't remember if it was Eric Amon in the chat room who asked, but somebody wanted to ask you, because you definitely have watched them all and you're a really big fan. What are some episodes you could recommend of New Adventures to those who maybe have never seen it, to think, you know what, this might at least make them think this is pretty damn good? Just like you said, every cartoon, including Filmation, There's stinkers and there's good ones.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about this cartoon. Like, you know, a lot of the episodes have a lot of those same problems that I'm talking about right now. Like, the voice acting is not great. The animation is not that polished. The music is just kind of leaves a lot to be desired. Sword and Staff, I think. And I'm not going to pretend like I know this particular series as well as I do Filmation, because I don't. I like it. I love the characters and stuff. I think Sword and Staff, because there's a pretty good fight of He-Man and Skeletor fighting around like a volcanic eruption, like an actual sword fight, like He-Man's power sword against the Havoc Staff. Like, it's a pretty well animated fight. I think it's called Sword and Staff. And all these episodes are available on YouTube. If you just YouTube search every one of them. The first episode, of course, if you can ignore the segment where the scientists are there that's a great sign of bad voice acting. If you can get past their one scene, that first episode, if you can buy into that, and I stress that enough because that's always been my favorite episode, because that's what got me. All right. What's so funny?
I'm sorry, Eric Amon in the chat room. He said, honestly, I think I watched the first episode at some point and was like, what the? And he said, what the is this shit? So, no, hey, Eric.
I get that. I completely do. What's that?
Because I did the same thing until I had to try to give it more chance. It was rough. It was rough, yeah.
And it's still going to be rough. But all I'm asking is, like, I'm not telling you that this is a great cartoon that people are not looking at. I'm asking the stories you're trying to tell. Yes, because, I mean, the scientists kill every scene they're in. And I'm not trying to be funny or exaggerating. You watch this any episode with the scientists show up and you're like, oh my God, man. Someone put a He-Man, take your power sword and just jam it into their skull. You know, just end it all right now. But there's a lot of great characters, and He-Man's allies of Artilla and Sagittar and Tuskador. I mean, the Galactic Guardians, which is the episode where they pretty much introduce how He-Man enhanced the forces of the Galactic Guardians, which was bringing on Tuskador, Artilla, Sagittar, and along with Hoove and Flipshot, and Spinwit. I believe shows up as well. So that's a fun episode, because you're getting to see how this band of buddies came together that is like the new, you know, heroic warriors, so to speak.
Sagittar is one I liked. I'll just admit, Sagittar from the cartoon and from the toy, it was the one character I remember when I looked at, I thought he looks like he could fit in with the vintage Masters of the Universe toy and also into the Filmation cartoon. He just had a distinct, unique look to him that I liked. And also within knowing, I didn't know if a lot of people knew New Adventures, it definitely, at least this was my perspective, I thought that they focused more of He-Man with the powers of what his sword can do compared to like the extraordinary super strength that we've seen in the Filmation cartoon a lot. But didn't his power sword seem like it had a lot of things it could do in New Adventures? Like, that was
amazing. Yeah, and stuff like in this episode too, where he, you know, sticks it in the ground and makes bricks fly up out of the ground. And like, okay, look, who the hell came up with that? I mean, see, that's why I can't say enough. I'm not trying to tell you that this is a cartoon that if you look a little bit better, it's better underneath the surface, because that's not the case here. It's just there's some great ideas, some good stories. They're just not given the best execution. So, you know, if you're not sold on the series, I want to sell you on the property and the idea and the mythology of what New Adventures is, from the Starship Eternia to Vizar and Nocturna, Kaio, who has always been a personal favorite of mine, to Lizor and Karate. You know, look at the characters, look at their designs, look what the Four Horsemen have done, look at the card art, look at what they can do, you know, and visually they're just striking looking characters, and the story itself. You know, you can go to those four mini comics. I mean, it's not like they're telling like the most great mini comic story either, but it's still bad at all. No, they're not by a long stretch. I just want people to, you know, stop from and look at what the New Adventures is trying to tell you. And I'm telling you that there's a lot of good to be had just with what He-Man and Skeletor are dealing with, let alone what's going on Eternia while they're gone. I mean,
no, it was a hard sell. It was for me. It was a hard sell, but I gave it more of a chance. Have I made it through every single episode yet? Nope. But I'll still be watching more of them. But the more I watched it, the more it did grow on you. Thought they did have something going pretty good here.
That's all I want. Like Joe appreciates the mythology and the story of the telling. Not doesn't necessarily think the cartoon is great because it's not, but understands that there it has so much potential. It just needs to be given a fair shot with someone who's like, okay, give me this cast of heroes, give me this cast of villains, a situation, and I'll weave together a story and bring them all together with a cool fight, a resolution, and setting up the next story. You know, I feel like it can be done and it should be done. Will it be done? Probably not. But, you know, unless someone decides, you know what, Tyler, we like what you have to say there. Would you like to come on here? As a freelance, you know.
Yeah, that would be it. But
yeah.
Well, JSP in the chat room, thank you for joining us. I didn't think I acknowledged him. But no, well, that's pretty much the wrap up then now of the main topics. And again, if you guys had any questions you did want to ask us right now, whether it's something from the cartoon, mini comics, the movie, any other thing for figures, you can let us know. We'll answer some of those questions right now because this is almost the wrapping up segment. But no, and thank you everybody that has joined us. It was a really good turnout. I try to acknowledge all of you, you know, mention some of the things and comments that you had as well. But yeah, it was a good reveal for San Diego Comic-Con. Like you said, there could have been more, but that'll be coming up soon and new adventures. It could be a hard sell, but at least give it a chance. Don't just completely hate on it without looking at it. Look at it. You might think, you know what? Damn, that's pretty good. So, and Tyler recommended at least 3 episodes there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just random ones there, but again, don't like the cartoon, just look at the characters and the story they're trying to tell and just think about the possibilities that could be told with that story going on, because it's a great idea.
Okay. All right. And okay, first question from Zentron. He said, rate the look of the new She-Ra character designs. Well, in general, like I said, I'm just not a fan of the kind of this look of animation, and I'm not saying it's going to be a bad cartoon. Hopefully it's great, but I don't usually flip over the line for a mouth. The exaggerated opening and closing of a mouth, but I mean, it's a different look on the designs. They're not exactly like we remembered when we were growing up, but it's something different. It's a new take, and if it succeeds, fantastic. But no, as for just in general, the designs of just the look and the art, I've never been a fan, even back in the 80s when they had stuff that kind of still looked like that, because I'm not saying this is complete anime. It just reminds old Joe of kind of anime sometimes when it was the line for mouth, the half nose, nothing, the goofy eyes. But there's beautiful anime as well, so I'm not putting that down. Just there's certain styles I don't flip over, and I just didn't flip over it. That's all. I don't know about you, Tyler, but yeah,
I think it's god-awful. I think it's ugly as hell. The characters don't, they look ugly. They, like, all the girls look ugly. You know, when you're given a cartoon that was meant for kids, but all the characters look like fully grown adults or young adults, or like the guys look like grown men, or now we're showing like they look like 13-year-olds, you know, and people say, oh, well, it's not meant for kids. Well, then come up with a brand new cartoon and leave She-Ra alone if you're not going to do something that can make everybody happy. But no, overall, I think the cartoon artwork looked, I mean, Glimmer, Bo, Adora, Catra, they just look ugly. They look uninspiring. It looks lazy. They don't look like beautiful, striking characters. You know, Bo doesn't come off as a masculine hero. He just comes off as like, just in the one picture, I just see like probably is going to be like an obnoxious child character or something like that. And seeing Catra with her, you know, it looks bad, people. It really does. And
well, it's November 16th. So
I have no interest in watching it. I think I've already decided at this point I'm not watching it. If they want to keep seeing the hammer, doing it. I'm not going to make myself unhappy in my own home. I'm just not going to do it. So,
which is why you haven't read a comic, which I will bring up. Don't you worry, I didn't forget about that.
Oh God.
Shut up. So I'm going to mention that. But, okay, and let's see, JSP. So are we going to get that movie? We're not going to mention that, JSP. We've So no, we're not going to get a new movie. It hasn't happened in 14, 15 years. It's not going to happen. So, but I know he's doing that to rib us. Okay. Zen Brown said, what happened to the review for the Injustice Masters crossover? Well, I'm not going to spoil the thing for you, but compared to the other ones in the crossovers we were getting before, no, like I said, I enjoyed it. And it had on the first page somebody that didn't get enough love. I'll at least mention the person, but I'm not going to say what was going on. But Zodak was on the first page, and I always wanted so much more of Zodak back in the day because he was not in a single mini comic. You know, we had him in DC stuff, we had him in the record book, he popped up in a few Filmation episodes, and I was just happy to see Zodak, and he's being represented as at least what you could say what we remembered about how he is throughout, you know, the cosmos and the chair. So it was a beautiful looking piece, but it was a unique story. I don't know a lot about Injustice, just like people who know the Injustice story might not know a lot about Masters. So I had to do just a little bit of research, and okay, I was like, okay, now I can understand parts, because I admittedly was confused when it came to the Injustice stuff, but I tried to refresh myself because
That shouldn't be the case though with this. This should be a crossover that anybody can pick up that's familiar with DC and He-Man, and you not feel like you're left out of something like, well, why are they doing this? Why would they need He-Man's help? Why is Superman running things that way? Like, you just kind of feel like, you know, a crossover, you shouldn't have to have a backstory. I mean, obviously, if you want people to go back and read more comics, okay, fine. But I just kind of felt for something like this, I feel like it's not, I don't know. And plus, when Joe described to me what was going on, I just felt like it feels so forced. Like, it just doesn't feel like a natural fit. You know, there's not just because they showcase He-Man with Superman to give He-Man and the Master of the Universe a jump start by including their biggest flagship character in the comic book doesn't necessarily mean that we should have more crossovers with DC characters and these Master of the Universe characters. Like, I just felt like that was done for a reason. It was not doing because this is a perfect fit. We should cross over more of these characters. And make sure you throw in Harley Quinn as well, because that's where Harley Quinn belongs, alongside with superhuman, you know, men and women, a crazy psychiatrist that everyone's just clamoring for because she was in Suicide Squad. Oh my God, I love Harley Quinn. I'm like, God, I'm so sick of it.
I won't be mentioning the whole story because I'm sure there's those that still need to buy it and read it. But I mean, I enjoyed it, especially compared to the other crossovers where the story just it was mind-blowingly insane, goofy, weird. This one, I was like, okay, it's cool. They got something good going on. It's a 6-part series, so I just hope it at least hopefully painting both properties of Injustice and Masters in a good light that doesn't really disrespect either. But we'll see how it continues. But no, as for that, Zen, I enjoyed it. So, but yeah, I didn't give a giant review. And Adam Gabbert, oh, this is going to be an easy one. Adam Gabbert said, Joe and Tyler, what are your thoughts on Castle Grayskull playsets for, he said, vintage 2000X classics? Okay, quickly, the vintage toy, I mean, oh my God, how many memories do we have as a kid? I just loved it. I loved using the elevator gimmick, you know, the trapdoor gimmick, having the jawbridge come down. It just, you feel like you could be escaping into Castle Grayskull and reliving a lot of your adventures from the mini comics, the cartoons and stuff in your head. Loved it. When it came to the 2000X playset, I mean, they had the cool little foot gimmick where it would activate stuff and things in their chip, but it just didn't vibe with me. I was like, I'm not feeling this 2000X Castle Grayskull. It looks, it just doesn't feel, not just.
It was flat,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, flat. It wasn't gritty. It wasn't dark. It wasn't, you know, like, it wasn't enticing to think, God, this is a spooky-ass place. It looks so kind of plain, and it's just there, and it's like, nah. And then here comes the classics one, which was, good God, freaking amazing. It's just amping the look of the vintage one, you know, by 10, 20, whatever. It's awesome, but. No, that 2000X one for me, yeah. I don't know about you, but go ahead, Tyler.
No, I'm the same way. Everything you just said, vintage, I'm still going to say it's always going to be my favorite, the 2000X. Okay. I remember I spent the last bit of my graduation money to get that castle and just kind of felt a little underwhelmed when I got it home, opened it up, set it up. It was just, not as great as I'd hoped. Just kind of like with so much stuff with that toy line. Aside from the secondary characters, it was a lackluster line in general because as much as Mattel said, they spent so much money on advertising and marketing things. it just felt like, how about you invest that money in the actual toy line itself instead of just making everything look just so, here it is. Oh, you don't like it? Well, I guess He-Man sucks then.
Yeah, but it was that 2000 X for me. It was the lackluster one. Hell, I enjoy the clock that I have that looks like Castle Grayskull more. Hell, I enjoyed the pencil sharpener from when I was a kid more than the 2000 X. It just did nothing for me. But thank you for that question. And all right, well, that's pretty much all of them. I'm gonna say Zentron did give a movie quote. His movie quote was, "It's your parade, princess. It can be smooth. It can be rough. It's your choice." I do not know. What about you, John?
No, don't know.
Well, you'll have to give us the answer within there. But and while he's going to give us the answer, I'll just, again, I want to thank every what was that, Zembron? The 2000X Grayskull is just a space saver. I know what you mean. Well, again, everybody that joined us in the chat room, thank you for Oh, no way. Zentron just gave the quote. Friday the 13th, Jason takes Manhattan. Damn it, those were the thugs in the alley.
I wouldn't even know that anyway. I've only seen that movie once in my life.
Yeah, that's when the guy was going to shoot up Rennie in the... Well, I know the thing. He didn't type that, but that was when he was going to shoot up Rennie in the alley. And then, of course, Jason killed the two punks and Rennie got loose. Damn it. Okay, Zentron, don't hate me. Everybody's going to say, you're a Friday the 13th fan. Look at your background. So I just lost. Damn, I'm humiliated. Oh, Tyler, I'm going to pass it to you now. Thanks for... Oh, damn it. Go on, Tyler.
All right. Well, I will say this before we close out. I finally heard from Karsten.
Oh, is he okay? God, I haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. I heard from Karsten. He's all right. He had some issues, and one of them being a computer crash, and he didn't really elaborate on the other stuff, and that's probably personal business. But he's back and apologizes for the delay, and has sent me the first completed image of the Clamp Champ Ninjor mini comic that we worked on together. So if you like the Leech mini comic, I really didn't think I'd be saying this. I really thought it was just pretty much dead in the water and it was a one-shot deal. But he sent me the first opening page, and I will showcase that when I advertise the podcast. So if you're listening to this and you hadn't seen it yet, just look for my post in the various He-Man pages and things like that, because I will be using that to help promote the podcast.
That'll be awesome.
Probably throughout the week as well, because it's a beautiful splash page, and it's pretty much exactly what I had written. And so if you like the Leech mini comic or you missed out on it, the next mini comic we did is on its way, and hopefully Carson will have more updates and I could post more previews. We could do the whole thing of doing pre-orders and stuff. So never fear, there is more coming, and I'm so thankful to say that.
Awesome, and good to hear that he's doing okay, because I was quite concerned about him, so I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah, all right, Tyler, go ahead.
No, okay, no, I was going to say, you're going to say he was worried about what? Thinking maybe.
Oh, he was worried that we were mad at him. I said, no, we're just glad you're all right, bud.
Oh, God, yeah, that's the most important thing. I am going to ask right now for somebody to come on live, because they're going to have to address something about Friday the 13th right now, part 8. Nathan, who's recording, could you please come on live? I want you to say to Tyler what you were typing in the chat room. So, come aboard.
Hello.
This is Nathan.
What did you suggest? Yeah. Beyond, man, I look like garbage right now. Holy crap.
The man behind the curtain. Go ahead, Nathan.
You said that the quote was from part 8, and then Tyler's like, I've only seen that like once, and that's...
No, I'm thinking. Mess. I was thinking he said Jason goes to hell.
He said Jason takes Manhattan. You're like, I've only seen that once, and I was like, wait, what? No,
I had no. Okay, I'm sorry. For some reason, I had in my head that I was thinking Jason goes to hell. Like, I wasn't paying attention because, like, I remember hearing the name Rennie, but no, I apologize for that. I've seen Jason Takes Manhattan more than most of the films. I just had in my head for some reason Jason Goes to Hell was being talked about. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah, because who was it? I think it may have been Eric Gaiman. It was like, yeah, that's one of the worst ones. And
No, it's not. No, it's one of the best ones.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother show that we'll have to do.
Yeah.
I felt like a moron right when he said it. Isn't it terrible that sometimes somebody can tell you the name of something and immediately, boom, you get the image? All he had to say was part 8 Takes Manhattan. It was like, now I see the whole damn thing happen. It's like I'm running the movie in my head.
And hello to everyone in the chat, because they're all like, oh, hey.
Yeah, so you got your appearance. So thanks for popping in, and thanks for recording.
I'm gonna disappear now.
was back into the shadow. So, all right. Well, I'll just, JSP says, this isn't beyond retro. So, okay. Well, guys, I'll say what I always say first. Thanks, everybody in the chat room, for joining us. We really appreciate you being here. And also, I did want to stress again, if you want, please be sure to subscribe, like this video, and ring that bell, because it'll let you know anytime we go live, just in case we have an issue where we're not recording, you know, through Doug Turner on a Sunday or any day, and we might pop up here. It's a good way to always be in the know when we're going to pop up in whatever place on YouTube. It's a good idea to do the like, subscribe, and ring the bell. So, but that's that. So, okay, I pretty much did it all. So, until next time, guys, and it's been a blast. Have a powerful day.
So, we're going to try next cheese.
That's the whole quote. And see, okay, guys, I hope he's not doing, and I don't know this. Now, I'm going to have to see if somebody in the chat room knows, because I'm out. I have no idea what that is. And I know that ain't going to be anything from a Friday the 13th. I'm trying to sit there thinking,
no.
That was that. I was like, no. I just so. Okay, JSP said Predator?
Bingo.
What the hell? Can you please help me out? What was that?
When they're setting the trap and they're waiting, and then Dylan looks at Dutch and says, are we going to try next cheese?
God! That was great that JSP got that. I don't know how that's
happening. Yeah, that's badass. That.
Damn, that's real good. So, oh, it's been a blast. So, I'll see you guys next week.
All right, later.
Later.